a good repenter. God told him he was a good repenter. Well, the problem with that is that we can't take credit for our repentance or being a good repenter. It's ridiculous. Repentance is from God alone. And so this same person talked about how that when he came to stand before God, he was going to tell God, well, I did everything you told me to do. Wow. You know, grace does not recognize anything in the creature. He talked about how he started to cast in the barn, and now he had all of these wonderful studios, state-of-the-art broadcasting equipment, everything else, and how that God had showed him all these things that are going to happen to America. Welcome aboard, Jeff Swayze. Well, I think that you can look around and see how judgment is on America, on the United States. Just by the debauchery in the state that we find ourselves in. The preoccupation with homosexuality and transgender and LGBT and all other mess. We have become haughty in our own eyes. And only God can bring repentance to each of us and this nation. Jeremiah got to the point where he said, I won't even preach to them anymore. They're beyond reaching because they have trampled the Holy Spirit. They have rejected the Holy Spirit. They have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, basically, is what Jeremiah was saying. That's pretty much where this nation is, for the most part. People deny the sovereignty of God in salvation. They deny the sovereignty of God in providence. You know, anything that happens is a decree of God. Yes, Nineveh repented for a space of 40 years and they went right back to where they were before, didn't they? Only God can grant repentance. We're not good repenters. We all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. We're in a spiritual warfare between the flesh, the devil, and the Holy Spirit. And if we are an elect child of God, all that the Father hath given him will come to him, and all that come to him I will in no wise cast out, he said. So whatever is going on in America, in Russia, in China, in Venezuela, in Syria, in Uganda, in the Ukraine, in Rwanda, in Argentina, wherever it might be, God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And God is in control, has the whole world in the palm of his hands. I've never heard this gentleman I'm referring to refer to election or predestination or the counsel of God, that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. He talks about all the things we must do. All the things we must take action on to turn this country around. We can't turn this country around. You know? Welcome aboard, Stephen Sarker. Well, we're told Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know that he was manifested to take away our sins, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness. He is also able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer, that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. He appeared to away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. 1 John 2:12, Acts 5:31, Acts 13:33, Isaiah 53:5-6, Luke 24:46-47, Hebrews 9:26, 1 Peter 2:24, 1 John 3:5. Thanks to you, Ashley, Kenny. And so when I hear someone brag about the fact that they are a good repenter, there is none good but God. And I don't really believe that that is true repentance when you brag on the fact that you're a good repenter. None of us are good repenters. None of us seek after God, Scripture tells us. We are all vile, wicked, abominable, apart from imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. I believe that the Scriptures, when it says that in the last days perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And we see that it tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. It will be marrying and giving in marriage. And on it goes. And it's a reality. We see it right in front of our face. We also are told in the 24th chapter of Matthew that there will be wars and rumors of wars. You know, we hear all these rumors now that Russia is ready for preemptive strike. The United States is planning a preemptive strike on Russia. We know that Netanyahu and Trump are trying to figure out some way to justify attacking Iran. You know, and there's no way man can reverse the decree of God over these things. If God decreed it, there's nothing that can turn it backwards. I believe that we're going to see war. War in this country. We have been blessed over the last 200 years not to have major loss of life on our own soil. Yeah, we lost quite a few people in this war and so on, but when we come across to other nations that we're all in all, that we're the final authority on institutions like China and Russia, look out, because they're not going to put up with it. God has ordained judgment. We know that we have departed from God's law. We know that as a nation we have now are endorsing perversion for lifestyles. We know we've endorsed feminism in our culture. And the result of that is judgment. But the most important thing that I want to get across today is not that, yes, we as Christians are called to repentance, but understand that the origin of repentance comes from God. If we have a desire to turn to God, it's because he's turned us. It's not anything in and of ourselves. We can't boast over our repentance. A slap in the face of God Almighty to say that we're good repenters. We're born and conceived in sin. we daily need to cry out for mercy and grace. We need God's continual mercy and grace upon our lives. We need to recognize that He is our only hope. Stephen, welcome aboard this morning. Joseph Benithi, welcome aboard. May God grant us repentance. May God grant us His unmerited favor. May God grant us His amazing grace continually in our lives. Amazing grace is not a one-time thing. Amazing grace is His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Welcome aboard, Eric Garthy. So when you hear someone who's really touting decisionism, free willism, Arminianism, they talk about you have to make the right decision, you have to make the right choices. God's blessed me because I was a good repenter. Realize that none of us are worthy of God's grace. None of us are good repenters. None of us in ourselves, in our flesh, we're nothing but vile, wretched sinners. God reveals to us our own state, of our own depravity. And we should be, if we're in Christ, we should see our own vileness up against a perfect, righteous, holy God. We have no hope in ourselves. There's nothing here. Nothing in my hand I bring. Only to Christ I cling. Naked I came to Him for dress. And He imputed His righteousness. I have an aversion to those who are cocky and arrogant, and talk about when they made the right decision, when they turned to Christ, when they accepted Jesus. He's the one who made us willing in the day of His power. Why is it? And I would challenge you to examine this. Those who are so into free will then, and the doctrine of free will, why is it they never talk about all of the scriptures related to election and predestination? Because they don't believe it. They believe that they're the one that chose Christ. It wasn't the other way around, that God chose them. They believe that they were the ones that chose Christ. They're the ones that led Him into their heart and so on. They don't believe that works by the counsel of His own will. They don't believe that we were predestinated unto adoption. They don't believe that those whom He foreknew, He also did predestinate. They don't believe it. It's a denial of Scripture. The children not having been born not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. We're not worthy of Christ's love. We're the most unworthy, wretched, vile, filthy. But He didn't come to call the righteous, but He came to call the sinners to repentance. He said in one place that the publicans and the prostitutes and whores will come near, coming to the kingdom of God than the Pharisees. I'm paraphrasing. I'm an unrighteous, no good, filthy publican. I don't necessarily like that fact, but that's what I was. And that's what I am apart from the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. What sin, what particular sin is going to keep you out of heaven? It only takes one, you know. Scripture says, for God's elect, he has not imputed their transgressions to them. He has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I agree with you, Ashley. He says, I know for sure I didn't choose Christ because I come from a family of heathens. Very well put. That's one of the things that made it so difficult for me growing up because, you know, my own mother thought she was righteous. Thought she had a definite second work of grace that brought her perfection. Wesleyan doctrine. Charles Finney doctrine. And she wanted everybody to know. Well, God caused me not to buy into that garbage. It had nothing to do with me. I mean, my flesh wanted to buy into it. Oh, I can be righteous. I can be holy. And all this talk about, you know, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. No man can walk in the footsteps of Jesus. He's carrying us underneath us with the everlasting arms of God. Well, I want everyone to think on these things this morning. Are you seeing your own righteousness? Are you trusting in your own ability to repent? Are you trusting in your good works? Are you trusting in your church membership? Are you trusting in the fact that other people accept your profession of faith? Or has God placed in your heart the reality that your only hope is in his completed perfect atonement and his sacrifice on the cross for your sins? Are you trusting in the fact that you're progressively being sanctified? My experience has been those who promote progressive sanctification are the most self-righteous people on the planet, face the earth. Welcome aboard, Ezra. Our being set apart by God is something that God did, not something that we did. If we are coming out from the world and being separate, it's because God has caused us to come out from the world and be separate. It has nothing to do with our flesh, and our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so this morning, that's been on my heart. You know, remember the puff of smoke on his breast. And he said he was an unworthy sinner. And it says that he went to his house justified. What did the Pharisee do? I thank God I'm not like this publican. That's the Arminian doctrine. I thank God I'm not like all those other people. I made a right decision. I've lived my life in a way that's honoring and pleasing to God. No. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, save from wrath, and be sure, rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. So the message this morning is, Are you trusting in self? Are you trusting in your decisions? Are you trusting in your choices? Are you trusting in your good works? Are you trusting in your holiness? Are you trusting in your sanctified life? Are you trusting in your abilities? Are you trusting in the crucified one? Are you trusting in the one who rose from the dead? Are you trusting in the one who's coming back again? When we stand before him, are we going to say, like this fellow said he was going to say, I carried out your commands. I obeyed you. I did what you told me to do. Just in his own works. Or are we going to look at Christ and say, my only hope is in what you've done. I have no hope in myself. I have no plea other than your precious blood. I have no plea other than the fact that you died for my sins. That's our only plea. Well, may the good Lord be with you this morning in a special way, this Thursday morning. I may not be morning where you're at. It's about 6:30, around 6:30 here in Pineville, Missouri this morning. And, you know, God's church is his bride. His blood bought. The ones for whom he came to save from their sins. That's his church. It's not an organization. It's not a building with stained glass windows and a cross and altars. His church are people, made up of people, his elect family that he's died for. Well, I pray that God would cause us to look up on his face this morning. We would see Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. God bless you.